News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
NATO meeting in Ankara, Turkey later today and Wednesday. And this, of course, happens amid continued pressure from the US administration on Europe to increase defence spending and continued friction, particularly over Greenland sovereignty and what's happening in the Middle East. Former fighter pilot, now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast, Sean Bell, is with us. Sean, can a meeting like this actually achieve anything in terms of coherent strategic plans or policy intent with the presence of Donald Trump? Or does it always become an exercise in restraining the bull in the China shop?
Good morning, Anton. Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it is the 36th time that the NATO meetings have got together at this big summit. It isn't just about the leaders. Obviously, it's about the focus this time is about how the nations are making progress towards the 5%, how they convert that money into action. There's lots of different sub-meetings around investment, innovation, defense production. But as you say, at the top of the shop, I think normally these meetings, in my memory, have largely been relatively inconsequential. Lots of leaders get together, have a fine supper, make some sort of agreed statement, and then head on their way. Whereas this time, there's lots of fireworks waiting, not only Trump looking at defence spending, Trump unhappy that NATO didn't help him in Iran, the whole issue about divergence over Ukraine, and of course, Prime Minister Meloni of Italy. Who can forget that Trump has suggested she might need issuing a restraining order? All the ingredients are there for a very fiery summit this time around.
Although to some extent, Trump is getting what he wanted, because he has been banging the drum about an increase in defence spending by NATO members for some time, and that's now happening.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I think one of the things that Mark Rutte, the Secretary General, has been highlighting is that since 2024 to 2025, there's been a 20% real increase in spending, and largely that's down to President Trump. And in an effort to try and keep Trump on side with NATO, he's also talked about this Trump trillion, which, in other words, ever since President Trump first came to power in 2017, NATO is now spending over $1 trillion more on defense. So you're absolutely right. When Trump first came into power, I think it was only a third of NATO members were paying 2%. Now, virtually all of them are. The challenge, of course, is how do you get to this 5% figure? And I wouldn't be at all surprised if the UK's Keir Starmer is going to struggle a bit, because despite the most recent announcement on spending, we're not on track to make 3% by 2030 or 3.5% by 2035. It's all about choices. None of the NATO members have money sloshing around. And therefore, I suspect we're going to see President Trump picking out a few of the NATO members that aren't meeting their obligation.
What then about some of the high-risk issues? Because if we turn to Ukraine, one of the things that has been suggested for some time is that if Ukraine falls, the next front involves a NATO member. And meanwhile, the Russians have been saying that the only reason that they're acting at all is because of NATO expansionism into their west. Where are the fault lines there, and what, if anything, can be achieved at this summit?
Yeah, I mean, in some respects, I think it's a little bit clearer than that. I think we were a bit worried at the early part of the Ukraine war. You remember back in four and a half years ago, there was this sense that Ukraine was going to fall overnight. Well, now it looks very unlikely that Ukraine will actually fall. Russia's struggling to make progress. I think the key issue is that America doesn't see Ukraine as a NATO problem. I mean, let's face it, Ukraine is not in NATO. The European nations feel the heat of that invasion far more than America does. And therefore, America is saying, why are you involving us? Why is it a NATO problem? So Europe is having to step up and try to work out what it does, because there's billions being spent. And that's why President Zelensky will be at this conference. And the question is, how do you keep President Trump on side? Because I think it was on Saturday, Trump talked to Putin for over 90 minutes. He does seem to have a good relationship with the Russian leader. That's not very helpful at the moment. But as you say, if Russia does succeed in taking Ukraine, if it starts on the Baltic states next and therefore threatens NATO, that is why Article 5, that business where if an attack on one is an attack on all, I suspect what you'll be seeing during this NATO summit is an effort to try and get that declaration dusted off and rebroadcast, and trying to make sure President Trump is a key part of that will be vital.
Does Article 5 still really carry weight? Do people believe that if triggered? Because my understanding is the only time that it was triggered was in aid of America. If it was triggered in the other way, do people believe that America would step in?
Well, I mean, that, again, that's a great question, Anton. I mean, the point is, it's a bit like using nuclear weapons. Nobody ever wants to use them. Nobody believes they ever would be used. But the whole purpose of having them is that you have to have that seed of doubt. And likewise, if you're going to attack a NATO member, you have to believe that there will be attack one, you're attacking us all. The challenge, of course, with President Trump being more isolationist. Now, he does claim that he's still a supporter of NATO, but I suspect we're going to hear a little bit more about that. Now, if you step back from this, I wouldn't be at all surprised if Trump claims that the only reason he's been so hostile towards NATO is because he wants to make sure European nations step up and start paying their own way. And frankly, they have been doing that. It has been, you know, as the UK has been spending its 2%, 2.5% on defence, and it's begrudged other nations not spending. So it's not a surprise that America's taken this view. I just hope that there is a joint statement made at the end of this, because Putin and his Russia is looking increasingly confident, increasingly resurgent. We've seen all sorts of instances where Russia is extending its influence. That is dangerous unless there is a robust NATO to keep it in check.
Lastly, Sean, you mentioned the meetings with the leaders being one thing, but the sort of side meetings with bureaucrats and administrators doing the planning and the hard yards of the work. If there is $1 trillion to be spent, does much of the discussion look at where that spending is? Because we've seen big increases in the value of places like BAE Systems and Rheinmetall in Europe. I assume the Americans have to be feeling that shift in spending, moving from stuff that they sell to stuff that's made in the EU.
I think the very interesting repercussions of America First policy and distancing itself from the European continent is that you're going to see more and more investment in European technology, in European industry and European weapons. Frankly, at the moment, it's cheaper to buy American weapons. But if you can't guarantee you're going to get them off America, you can't guarantee they're going to provide the spares to your F-35s, then you're going to find European solutions. And I think that's what a lot of the conversation is now focusing on, particularly because you talked about Ukraine. They need air defense weapons. But of course, America has used up a lot of weapons in its war in Iran. So it's slowing down supplies for Ukraine. Well, that's something Europe will want to fix. So I do think President Trump and his defense industry, they will be doing well in the near term. But I do think we're going to see an increased investment in our European security and particularly our ability to produce our own weapons.
Sean, as ever, thank you very much. That is Sean Bell there in Ankara at that NATO meeting, former fighter pilot and military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. If you want to get in touch with the show, 53106 or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.